We have at least two really amazing readings from the Bible this morning. The first one is from the Hebrew Scriptures, God showing Moses the land that God promised to Abraham. They're chatting from this high place, Moses and God lays out the boundaries of the promised land, the land the people of Israel will inhabit, the land that will become so central to their identity. It's wonderfully dramatic. There's a bit of a surprise ending to it, too. The story reads, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar." God takes Moses, who's been wandering the desert for 40 years, up to that high place and shows him the land that he promised Abraham and the people, the land Moses' descendants will occupy. And God tells Moses, "You're not ever going there. You just get to see it. You don't get to live there." And what does Moses do? He just dies right there. Right then and right there. Croak. And then we have this rich story from Matthew's gospel. It's the final inquisition of several Jesus has been subjected to. There's even a shift in Jesus' inquisitors. The story reads, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees." I love that. One group of religious authoritarians are at a loss for what to do in order to entrap Jesus, so they quit, and another one steps up. The Pharisees step in to try to fill the gap and bring Jesus down. And in order to do so, they come to him with this legal question. Which commandment is the most important commandment, Jesus? But we should hear this question in another way, perhaps. We should hear someone asking Jesus, of all the things to know, what is the most important? Of all the things to know, what is the most important thing to know? Beautiful question. We can imagine the response we would make to our children or to our grandchildren. Of all the things to know, what is the most important thing to know? Jesus responds, "Commandments? Of course, it's the first one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." It's a magnificent aspiration to love God completely. You must love God utterly. We must love God comprehensively. What an incredible, complex, and complicated course that is. To love God completely, to be so in tune with God. Jesus doesn't stop there. He adds a second. And he adds a second, even though he was asked for only one, right? Of all the things to know, what is the most important thing to know? Well, it's two things. It's not one, though the two are integrated. So he's not complying completely with the request of the Pharisee lawyer who asked him which commandment was the greatest. He's bringing two and insisting one cannot exist without the other. They're integrated, making the two one. He says, and you, we must love our neighbors as ourselves. Of all the things to know, what's the most important? And Jesus responds, to love God comprehensively, wholly, and to love the other as we love the self. This response, known as the summary of the law, becomes the starting point for humanity's search to live a life of meaning and purpose and significance. These two integrated ideas, two ideas integrated into one, become the capital T truth, or the capital W way. What Jesus does here is heavy duty. He's saying there is no way for us to be super in tune with what's in here, with God, without being in tune with what's out there, face to face, eye to eye, hand to hand. He's saying you cannot connect to God and despise humanity. You cannot work on your God-given self without working on the other in love. He's saying if you don't love your neighbor, then your heart and soul and mind are not in God completely. He's saying this life, everything is relational. Many of you heard that on Thursday night from Dan Siegel at the Center for the Arts. And now you hear it this morning from Jesus. This is a watershed moment for the one trying to live into the God love life, to really become a disciple, to experience our God-given belovedness, and to make a response to that belovedness too. These actions are not separate actions, but one movement. We cannot pause one while we play the other. They are interdependent, integrated. The second is like it, as the story reads, exactly like it. I was struggling this week. How do you explain this watershed moment? How do we talk about something we've heard a bunch of times, but we don't really understand? How do we get from that place of a guy asked Jesus, of all the things to know, what's the most important thing to know? And Jesus responds, really, it's not something to know, but rather something to be. You know, in America 2017, we'll turn this into a to-do list. How might I master what Jesus said? How can I speed it up or hack it? How can I make this two easy steps toward the most important thing to know? And even better, if I can I get a publisher and make a million? Trouble is, you can publish doing, but it's awfully hard to publish being. And Jesus is talking about being, not doing. Jesus isn't trying to get them to do something. He's trying to get us to be something. He's trying to get us to be something we already are, even. So here's the best, least clear way for me to explain what I think is going on here. Hear me out. You see my brother Brian back there? Wave to the people, Brian. You cannot love Brian with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You cannot love Brian fully and completely without loving Adam and Jack and Lucy. You cannot love Cindy or Jimmy with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul and not love Jas and Jade. You cannot love Margaret comprehensively and not love Reed and Ryan. You cannot love Kathy and despise Sam. You cannot fully love Meredith and be apathetic toward Gil and Virginia and Cupcake. There is no way to love Daryl and not love Teddy and Finley and Gus. It can't be done. The love work cannot be disintegrated. Love is fully and completely integrated. True love. Life is lived in relation to the other. Meaning is derived from relationship. The stuff of God is what's in between you and me, between each of us, between all of us. This isn't about one commandment or another. This isn't about one commandment and another. This is about what's in between. In between the two and in between everything and each of us. Here's the dealio. Here's the dealio. This is it. This is it. This is living. This is real life, and God is here, right here, right here, right now. And God is there and then, just as you and I are. How will you live and love? Partially or comprehensively? Can you imagine wandering the desert for 40 years? 40 years of hunger and thirst and expectation and disappointment. Can you imagine what that must have done for Moses and those with whom he traveled and lived? Can you imagine the bonds formed by such an adventure, by such a life? Can you put yourselves in Moses' sandals? You arise to that high place and you see that land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, and you are told that that is indeed that land, and the people you wandered with would go into that land, but that they would go in without you. It's no wonder he died right there, right? It's no wonder. It's not about the land. It's not about the law. It's not about a to-do list. It's not about the church or the liturgy or the robes or the music or the sermon. It's not even about this beautiful valley we're so privileged to occupy. It's about the people, all people, everybody. Amen.